you're very welcome back. It is National Fostering Week this week, and we're asking you here on Lunchtime Live, have you ever thought about fostering a child? And TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, are running this week in the hopes of recruiting new foster carers, and they're looking for people to provide a safe, stable environment for kids and children who, due to a range of reasons, I suppose, can't live at home with their own families. Across Ireland, there are over 4,000 foster carers opening their homes to 5,500 children for short-term, emergency, longer-term and respite fostering. And we're wondering, have you thought about it? Have you considered it? Would you consider it? Do you sometimes think, oh, I wouldn't be able for a variety of reasons? And I'd love to hear from you if you have done it and what your experience of it was. Or indeed, I'd love to hear from you if you're now a grown-up who was in foster care and what it meant to you. That would be a really interesting and important conversation, I think, to have. And Aveen is on the line, who is a foster carer, and you're very welcome, Aveen. Aveen, why did you decide to foster?
Okay, well, we had already had two children that we had adopted some years earlier, and we wanted to expand our family by another child. Uh-huh. We applied on the long term. We were interested in a long term placement. People do make the decision as to whether they want to be short term, long term, respite or whatever, but in our case, we wanted to do the long term. And our child, who's now actually an adult, almost 27 years old, he came to us at age 8 and he lived with us until he was 23, when he actually moved on then as an adult.
Okay, so you, 8 to 23, in my maths in my head, 15 years. So yeah. Very long term, not hugely dissimilar to adoption in that case. Would that be right to say?
Yeah, well, fostering and adoption are not the same thing, because you still, you know, the parents still have the involvement with the child. But yes, it was very like that. I mean, he was part of our family. He was the third child, a younger sibling to our existing children. And we just became a family with three children instead of just two. And that's the way we went forward.
And you just decided you'd already adopted two children. You wanted a bigger family, and this was the road to go. And was it challenging, Aveen? You had two adopted children, and your foster son arrived age 8, fully formed, with a personality and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Is that hard? Because I imagine people are often worrying about things like that if they were considering this.
I know, and people do, and people say to you in your foster care, oh, I could never do that, because a lot of people say, oh, because when the child goes back, my heart would break. And, you know, it depends. If you want to be a short-term foster carer, you will have children. That's what you opt for children that may come and go. But in long-term, the expectation really is that the child will be with you until they reach adulthood, insofar as that can never be 100% predicted, but it's fairly safe to predict that there are some children who will remain in care all their lives based on their circumstances.
Yeah.
So is it challenging? Yeah, but, you know, to be truthful, all children and all walks of life are challenging at different stages. I think anyone who's parented would agree with that. We all have to survive the teenage years. It does perhaps bring some extra challenges, but it is a very supportive environment. You do have a social worker, and certainly in my time in it, I have seen an awful lot more support come in now for foster carers in the realm of things like maybe psychological intervention or issues like that, if that's required. It's far more involved now than it would have been a number of years ago. So families do get a lot more support now when they have a foster child.
Yeah, and I imagine, you're quite right. I mean, I have four kids, and there's challenges to parenting, whether the child is biological, adopted, fostered or whatever. There always is. But I imagine fostering does bring its own challenges, because, as you say, you are dealing with the parents as well, the biological parents, because the child is not adopted, the child is fostered, and a lot of the time they still see their parents, is that right?
Oh, they would, yeah, they would see their parents on access, and that's a good thing, because remember, these children know who their parents are, they've had to leave their family of origin, so you would want them to have that connection back. But again, the training that you get in your preparation for this prepares you for that. And anyone who opts to go fostering, they go through a whole process of assessment and a training program in advance, and it prepares you for all that. And you just learn to be generous, that when you consider you do have somebody else's child that you are rearing, and if they still have access to their parents, you know, your generosity, you understand what that parent has lost, and you understand that it's good for the child to have that contact, and it is manageable then. But you are the person who is the main focus of that child's life and who has the main part of their life.
Can I ask you, and maybe you can't answer this question, even, I don't know if you can or not, but when I hear about somebody in foster care for like 15 years or what have you, and it's their lives, I know in other countries they do it a bit differently. I know that if you're somewhere like America, if your own biological parents haven't I don't know if I'm saying it the right way. I don't mean to be offensive, mm-hmm. but haven't gotten their act together to take their children back and be able to rear them themselves. Those children are put up for adoption. And that has always struck me as being fair to the child, that the child would be given a chance to be adopted into a permanent family situation, and long-term fostering, not for everyone, doesn't necessarily offer that. Do you think our system works to the benefit of children, or would we be better off seeing not children maybe fostered for 15 years, but actually adopted?
Well, it is two separate issues, all right.
Yeah.
But you have to be aware, too, that children who have to leave their family of origin often have a very strong connection with them and will never cease loving or wanting to have connections back to their parents. So it may not be something that would work in every case. I understand from social workers, and I'm not a social worker, but I do understand from social workers that the recent Child Care Act has made it possibly more open where adoptions may ensue. But what we don't do in Ireland, and I think it's a good thing, we don't have forced adoptions like they have in some countries where yeah. the state decides that. I think it would still be with the agreement of all sides. But to be truthful, a child in long-term placement get so connected into your family and all your where they live, where they go to school, their local friends, all of that. There's not a lot different for them other than they do have access with another family.
Right.
And they do have a social worker who they see a couple of times, when you know, regularly throughout the year or whatever. And there is also a thing now called enhanced rights. So if you have a child placed with you, I think it's after 5 years, you can apply for enhanced rights where, as a foster parent, you have greater rights for things like
greater say
for, for medical stuff, yeah. you know, that kind of thing, sign for a passport, that sort of stuff.
Can I ask
yeah.
you one last question, because I'm up to the news, Eivin, but okay. would you recommend it? I mean, you obviously... 15 years
yeah.
you had your son in you know under your roof, and now he's an adult. I'm sure you're still like all kids
in
move
contact,
exactly
yeah,
all
yeah.
of that. Would you recommend it for a family?
Yes, I would recommend it for a family, and I'd have to say we have such a demand at the moment for
yeah.
foster carers throughout the country. And if somebody is listening in and they're thinking, oh, maybe I could or maybe I wouldn't, I just say to them, would you please just look up fostering.ie website, start to find out a bit about it, maybe make a few inquiries. And remember, at any stage, you can decide to back away from this. There's no compulsion for it to go through if you find it's not for you. But I think if people would look into it, they may well find that it would actually be something they would be good at. And all they have to be is someone who wants to care for a child and who is a stable person. They don't even have to be in a partnership. They don't have to be married. They can even be in a single-sex relationship. But there is a demand out there for great diversity. And if they look at that website, that just perhaps they might see that they
might
have
be able to offer a kid at home. It's funny, we have a huge push for fostering dogs and cats and all nowadays. You know, adopt,
yeah.
don't buy, don't shop, foster, all that stuff. And yet we don't seem to hear the same push for children. And I'm sure there are children all over the country who really do need foster care. Thank you so much, Eivin, for speaking to me. Let's take a break. Fostering Week is this week, and we've been talking just before the break. We spoke to Eivin, who is a foster carer herself, about her lovely foster son, who she started fostering when he was 8, and he moved out when he was 23, 15 years later. And I'm also joined now on the line by Susan, who is a foster carer, to discuss the reality of fostering for people. And it is National Fostering Week. And if you're thinking about fostering, and they desperately need people, we you know, I don't mean to compare animals to children, but we hear a huge amount about taking in pets and fostering pets. Children need foster carers very vitally, and they don't have enough. There's 5,500 kids in care currently in foster homes with TUSLA. And could you help a child that needed a bit of a dig out? Susan, you're very welcome. What kind of people do you think, as a fosterer, make good foster carers?
Well, I just think we're not perfect people. We're just ordinary people with a big heart, and you know you need to have lots of empathy and patience and just a willingness to work with young people and enjoy the company of young people.
And do you think that perhaps sometimes people say, well, I couldn't do it because I'm not good enough, or I'm too busy, or I'd get too attached, and people have set these kind of obstacles in their own minds to doing it, but actually...
Well, I think you do, and I think you're always afraid of getting too attached and maybe the children have to leave. And you know, there is a little bit, an element of that, and there's children that have left me and I've been really sad to see them go. But at the same time, you can often keep in touch with the children depending on the circumstances.
Yeah.
And I have children now that years later, they're still sending me news of them being at college and keeping in touch with them, especially now with so much social media.
Yes.
It's great to be able to have that contact with some. Now, it's not obviously with all children, but it can be with quite a few.
Yeah.
And then you have children. I've had children in my life for a long time, and years after they've reached adulthood. They're still in my lives now. In fact, I have one boy, the very first child I fostered when he was four. He's now living back in a granny apartment next to me with his partner and his two children.
Get away.
Yeah, and he's now in his, 30.
Okay, so you have maintained lifelong relationships with some of the children that you have fostered.
Yeah,
have you fostered many, Susan, or do you know how many?
Yes, quite a lot. You know, I've had a few main children in my life that are like my own children, the two sibling brothers that came when they were 4 and 6, I'm still very much involved with. And I had a little girl that came to me when she was 9 and a half months, and she still lives at home. Then I have a boy, an African nationality, who's living with me for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And I have another 14-year-old girl currently living with me. And over the years, I've had, quite a few short-term, maybe respite fostering for other foster carers, or, where parents are undergoing just temporary problems and the children come for a little while they get things back on track.
God.
And I did quite a few babies when I was younger, just...
Yeah. Fair play to you, Susan. In fairness, you've offered a huge amount of children then a home.
Yeah, there's quite a lot, and I've loved it. Sadly, in my case, I wasn't able to have biological children, and rather than just letting that get me down totally, I just tried to find an alternative, and this has been just so rewarding and so life-fulfilling for me. I've absolutely loved it.
Yeah. See, I was going to ask you that, and not in a mercenary way at all. I was going to say, what do you get out of it? Do you get a lot of love in your life from having...
Love, yeah. And I've got two little, I've got grandchildren now that I absolutely adore, all through fostering, and I lost my husband 8 years ago, and only for the older children... It would have been just so difficult, but they were all around me and such huge support and love. And you get so much back. I think whatever love you give out in life, you get back tenfold.
I think so too, to be honest. If you were talking, and I'm sure there are people listening kind of going, well, I hadn't really thought of doing that or whatever. You yourself didn't have biological children, so therefore being a parent already wasn't any kind of a prerequisite to fostering.
That's right, but I have got siblings and that all with children, so I had a good idea of, how families operate. And and since I got into fostering and people saw what the way my life was working out, quite a few neighbours and people in the locality used to ask me about it. And, at least three of them have now become foster carers, people who would never have thought of foster caring initially. And they just saw how, it was working for me and how happy we were. And I'm not saying it's not challenging at times. It certainly is. But all children can be challenging at times.
But family is challenging. You can be challenged by your own parents, by your siblings,
by
your family. People are challenging.
Yeah, I don't think I have any sort of much worse situations, than some friends I know and some family. And I think individual children, some... Obviously, all children that come into care have some kind of trauma in their background to necessitate them coming into care. And I think that's where you need to come in with lots of love and nurture and provide a safe environment.
The kids are kind of vulnerable when you get them because they've
maybe
been through something.
They are very vulnerable, and you have to be so, careful with them, and you don't want to do any more damage. You just want to repair some of the sadness that they've been through maybe.
Yeah.
And I always try to work closely where possible with birth families, and the birth family of my, oldest children I'm very much involved with, and they would have been involved in their lives all the way through. And
is that part
that
of
makes
the...
such for such a good relationship for the boys? They don't feel torn between two families.
Yeah.
I don't believe that love is limited. Just because they love one mother, it doesn't mean they can't love another one.
That's totally true. But can I just say, is that part of what makes a successful foster family or foster pairing
that you
relate well with the biological parents?
I think it's important if you can do it, and not all biological families, are available for that, for their own issues. It hasn't been the case for every child I've had. But where possible, I think it's good for the children if you can get on with them to the best of your ability and let the children realise, that you're not trying to push those people out of their lives. You're just trying to make everybody work together.
Yeah.
Well, as I say, in some circumstances it's not possible, but then, you have a different... The child often realises that eventually, and they'll know the reason for that.
Look, it's a lovely thing to hear, to be honest, said Susan, and you've obviously offered a home to a huge amount of kids, and I think that's, It's interesting that you said that people that you met, that you told about fostering, became foster parents, because I think sometimes if you don't know any foster parents, you'd never think of doing it. But actually, when you hear you talk about it so matter-of-factly, it's something I think a lot of people could do and could do well. And maybe
I think they could, yeah. Because a couple of the families around us have become foster. I mean, they have children of their own, and they just saw how we were operating and that, you know, how lovely it was. And they said, oh, you know, we could do that. We could offer a child a home. And, you know, there's a great thing to do if you can do it. And I think it's also very good for your own children, because they see that, you know, that not everybody's as lucky as they are, maybe. And it gives them a bigger insight into how the world works and how, you know, how lucky they might be in their family.
Yeah, no, thank you. Listen, fair play to you. There's Susan, who has fostered a huge amount of children. And one of her foster sons lives in the granny flat next door with his partner and their kids. And she has foster grandchildren now. Isn't that a lovely thing to do? Someone says, hi, Kira. We're foster parents to two great boys. They are with us coming on 3 years. They were 10 and 11 when they came to us. And it is a long-term situation. Our guys have access with their mum, which is supervised for an hour a month. They have thrived over the last 3 years. And we're so happy we got them before their teenage years, as they would have been lost in their old life, and God knows what they would have ended up doing. Maybe we have one with special needs and his brother has medical needs. The point I'd like to make is being a foster parent can be hugely challenging and at times exhausting, but it is massively rewarding, especially with the small things. Our foster son put a note on our bedroom door saying he loved us. He'd never just come out with it. These children just need to feel loved and secure. No bells or whistles, just normal family life, and to see them grow into happy, confident kids. Absolute blessing. Fostering is one of the best things we've ever done. Some parents give up their children for fostering voluntarily, and it is incredibly brave of parents, and it should be recognised more. Wow, that's lovely to hear. And Anne is on the line. Anne, you're actually a foster carer, but you're also a social worker. So you've kind of seen the foster care system, dare I say, from both sides. You're very welcome. Tell me a little bit about maybe the social work side, first of all, because we haven't heard that story. And then tell me how you got into being a foster carer yourself.
Okay, well, I suppose I was qualified as a social worker, and I ended up spending 7 years working within the child protection team, which necessitated working with children who were at risk at home, removing children with the assistance of the Gardaí or the courts, placing them into foster homes. And that was something that I really felt was a very rewarding career, but very difficult and very stressful,
I'm sure,
as well at the same time. But I always would have said that I have two great outcomes. One is that if I could return children to parents who were now able to manage to meet their needs, or two, if that wasn't possible, that I could actually assist in the placement of children with long-term foster carers who would be there for them now and into the future. And so there was both outcomes were positive for the children.
Yeah. And so you saw the good, even though it was a very challenging career, you saw the good that was being done. And that,
yes, and I loved it. Yeah, yeah, I did love it. Yeah.
And that gave you something. And then you went on and did it yourself. Tell me about that decision.
I did. Well, after a number of years, I had applied for other social work jobs and was working in a different area of social work. And at that time, I also met my now husband, and I think it was probably on our second date we discussed the potential of fostering into the future. And then after, obviously a couple of years after that, we decided and we started going down the application for becoming foster carers. Our own life interrupted along the way somewhat, but then we approximately 5.5 years ago, now we started on the adoption process again with one of the fostering agencies.
Right, okay.
And so we became foster carers 4 years ago now to a 9-year-old girl.
Okay.
And that was for an emergency placement over the Christmas period, just for a couple of months. And she's still with us now 4 years later. And she's a long-term match. We're going for the long-term match now in a couple of weeks with her.
So you've had her since she was 9, and you took her in over.
No, she's 9 now. She's We took her in the week before Christmas 4 years ago. Yeah,
she was 5.
Yeah, yeah.
And bless us.
It was a very rushed kind of Christmas for us. All of a sudden, having Santi into our house when we have no other children in the house, and so. But it was a wonderful time, as well as being a somewhat challenging time getting to know a five-year-old who'd never, you know, who didn't know us and we didn't know her, and all of a sudden we were part of her life, you know.
Yeah, I do know, and it sounds amazing. Can I ask you, is that a common thing that you'd look for kind of emergency fostering over a Christmas? Do families, I suppose people always recognise that family rows are a big thing around Christmas.
Yeah.
So families break down a bit over Christmas too, do they?
Families can, yes, because of the stress around Christmas. Christmas, as everybody knows, is a very stressful time. So if there's already challenges in the family, then it can, those rows can escalate. Yeah. And also there's more alcohol consumption around that time as well, which doesn't help. When families are vulnerable. But in this case, it was, she was already a child who was in care, but the plan was for her to go back to her mother in a shorter period of time, and so that she needed somebody who was able to facilitate her school and her access, etc., and we were able to do that. So.
Okay. It sounds like a wonderfully kind thing that you did, and I'm kind of feeling a bit heartbroken, I mean, for the children involved, and look, families are tricky, and I'm sure there are challenges and all that. But God, when you think of, I keep comparing them to dogs, and it's the wrong thing to do. But you hear so much talk about people adopting dogs and fostering dogs and everything. It's everywhere. You don't hear about the fact that there are children, never mind pets, there are children in need of this. And you don't hear an awful lot about it. Someone has texted on, and you might be able to answer this question, said, please ask the lady you're talking to if fostering might be a good idea for a couple who cannot have their own children. We have had failed IVF. Would it be too heartbreaking giving the children back all the time? Is that why someone might apply for long-term fostering?
Somebody might apply for long-term fostering, and you know, I'm kind of in a similar situation myself, but what I can say is that originally this child came to us on a short-term emergency. It has turned into a long-term, but I think that working with the social workers and working as a social worker, that any short time you may give to a child, you've equipped them to deal better in their adult life. So hopefully that this cycle isn't being repeated, okay? And so even if it is a short term, to actually have given that gift to a child to enable them to live a better life into the future may actually be enough reward. If it's not, of course it would be heartbreaking if either of the children I have, who are both long-term now, were to go back. But the child, I think, have been given such a gift by yourself and capacity and learned how to do so many things in your care that, you know, if it's enough for you to give that gift back, then that's fine. But if you can't do it, then actually do go and apply for long-term. But even when a person does go for long term, if a parent within Ireland and within our legislation, if a parent does show that they have the capacity to care for that child again, that even if it has been deemed as long term, there is always a chance that that child might go back. So you have to enter into it with that knowledge as well.
Okay. Yeah. And I can imagine that's very difficult. I did ask somebody earlier, do they think that our system was a good system? Because I know that there are other jurisdictions where, I suppose the term is forced adoption, which with our history of Magdalens and always sound terrible. But for the sake of the child, if a baby is taken into foster care and is going to be fostered till they're 18, you'd kind of question, would you, about whether or not they'd be better off adopted?
Oh, absolutely. I think they would be much better off adopted. I think that having this label of a foster child, like the child I have at the moment, who's six, said to me a couple of months ago, but I'm a foster child, and I'm kind of going, I don't even know where you heard that word foster, because that's certainly not a word I would use. I would say to the children, you know, you're living with myself and my husband.
Maybe they heard and of we're, a social worker. Or
they might have done, but I'm parenting you, you know, that I'm not your mom. You know, you can call me whatever you like, you can call, as long as it's polite. You know, but I'm not your mom. You know, you have your mommy, and that's fine. Your mommy is part of your life. She's part of our life, but she's not living here with you now. But I am your parent in this home. And I, you know, but if a child is available for adoption and could be made available for adoption, certainly when there is no chance of them going home.
It does seem sad to somebody, and I know it does occasionally happen, children are taken into foster care as infants and they don't come out of it. And that seems to me to be not right for the child. Maybe it's right for the parents, but the child maybe deserves a different chance. Can I ask you one last question? And you're kind of, I actually feel it's lovely to talk to you and to hear you speak so beautifully about fostering. And it's sad for the, it's a sad story, although it's a lovely story as well. Somebody has texted and said, "Is it possible to foster if you both have full time jobs?" Is the answer to that yes or no, or I don't know?
The answer to that would be no, certainly for a younger child. When a younger child is coming into care, if they have too many changes throughout their day, if they were going from
childminders or creches,
to a childminder crèche, you know, they've been through enough instability already. They need to have a regular routine with the parent at home. And I'm very lucky. I've got my husband is at home while I'm actually working. And so he's the main caregiver in our house.
And is it possible, therefore, for older children, if you had an 11-year-old or I don't know what
I wouldn't even say 11, but certainly there's, Tusslas certainly have supported lodgings. Supported lodgings will be houses that are open to maybe older children, like 16 or older than that, who might only be interested in going to school and coming home and whatever else, and they might be very independent. We had two children placed with us short term for only a bit of respite, and they were teenagers and they were really, really independent, and all they wanted was a hot dinner and their breakfast and a place to stay and the money for their Lewis ticket or whatever else, you know.
So there are different, you could at least inquire about what may or may not be possible.
Always go and inquire about what is possible within your current situation,
thank you for that, Anne. Fair play to you. Thank you for talking to us. Teresa's also on the line. Teresa, you've been fostering for 26 years. I'm amazed. Fair play. How many children would you have looked after?
I dare count at this stage, but I would be up and over 100.
Really?
When I started back, I just had my own baby. She was about 2. And I call it the goo-goo and gaga stage.
Yeah.
And I just wanted life. I just wanted to meet my friends. But sure, they were all still working and that kind of thing. And even entering mother and toddler groups, you know, I still wasn't getting what I was looking for. And I just saw the notice in the doctor's surgery. I made the call. I was thinking of doing voluntary work, maybe Meals on Wheels. And the rest is history.
So you were literally you were looking for something to occupy you in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. Along with my own baby at the time.
Goodness.
I would have been a barber. I would have run my own business in previous life. But I was, you know, taking the challenge of being at home and rearing my child, and I just needed something extra.
Right. And you haven't really looked back, have you?
Oh, my God, no. Absolutely fantastic. Now, don't get me wrong. The house can be crazy at times, you know, but if I was given it all over again, I'd do exactly the same.
Really? And do you think anyone understands how needed you guys are? Do you know?
The way I look at it is, it's there for the grace of God go I. Yeah. You know, no one knows what's going to happen to you in your lifetime, you know, especially when you come into a crisis stage, you know. And I always also say, you know, you really are only a couple of paychecks away from bankruptcy, you know, and losing the roof from over your head. And a lot of these children, that's where it starts. You know, the parents' life breaks down. You know, they turn to alcohol or there's no one there to help them out. And, you know, they make the best choice for the children at that stage for them to come into care. You know, now, before the recession, there was about 2,000 children in care. You know, that has trebled now today.
Do we know why?
Foster parent recruitment hasn't.
Do we know why so many are in care?
Purely through adults not being able to make it through. You know, the parents can't make it through and they just need that extra bit of help, you know, and they make the best choice for their children. Now, I've kept, you know, I've an open house. My hall door is called the revolving hall door. And I've tried to make contact with parents. I've tried to welcome them on board, because when you work as a unit and as a team, you know, you do get the better outcome, you know, and like there are parents out there really trying to do their best, but their children are in care.
I know. I'm kind of blown away that I feel as if I've been a bit blind to how necessary this is, obviously, is by way of, you know, something.
I think it's more prevalent now because of media and Facebook. And we have a huge amount of people out there on the streets every night feeding people who are homeless. And they're coming across the little children and they're wondering, why are they there? You know, but that parent is still trying to hold on to that child. But for those that have come into care, you know, a lot of them have flourished. You know, I have children that I have fostered, you know, holding down great jobs, going on to college. You know, they just need that chance.
Yeah.
Look, and if you are at home and you're cooking dinner for your own three or whatever, you know, an extra mouth
in the pot,
2 months, or if you have your kids in, friends' kids in for dinner, it stretches.
It does stretch. But look, thank you so much for speaking to me. Some amazing, I think we can agree, some amazing foster mums there. I'm sure there are foster dads too. And if you would like to talk to us, come on, 53106 is the text line. But I certainly can say, hands on heart, I hadn't really given it an awful lot of thought, how needed foster carers are and how it's like everything else, isn't it? I'm sure it's challenging, but I'm sure it's mutually rewarding. I have no doubt that as well as the children getting a roof over their head and a safe, warm, secure, loving environment, I have no doubt that foster parents don't get something very rewarding back as well, because that's how those things go. Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more after this. Now, we have been talking, you're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Ciara, but we have been talking about it being National Fostering Week, and I've spoken to some incredible, I'm kind of blown away by the selflessness of them, foster parents, who one woman we spoke to had fostered over 100 children over the last 26 years. And Chris has emailed us, and he or she says, I would really encourage anyone thinking about fostering to try it. We had the most amazing experience over the past few years. We had two gorgeous kids, siblings, who stayed with us for just under 5 years. They've now returned to their parents and we see them every few weeks. It will be frustrating, it will be trying, it will be upsetting, but it will be fantastic, uplifting and fun. It's not straightforward, but neither is rearing your own child. Fostering gave us the opportunity to parent two fantastic kids, to participate at schools, at sports, at extracurricular activities, at parties, to have loads more kids and parents in our lives, and just to parent with all the frustrations and joy that that brings. There are very good reasons for children coming into care, so there will be challenges, behavioural issues, not just the child's, and the rules of the system and the people running it and their family. However, we found that there is support from TUSLA, but you have to be the advocate for your foster kid and demand additional support. Despite the embarrassment of people telling us how great we did it for selfish reasons, and that's okay. There are plenty of kids who need a loving home, either temporarily, longer term, or for life. We felt so lucky to have had them in our lives for so many reasons. We couldn't have kids ourselves. We were assessed for adoption, but transferred to fostering. Nothing was straightforward. It was a long, long process. You will have the children's parents, social workers, access workers, therapists, guardian ad litem, lawyers, and more people in your lives. And the assessment is rigorous and frustrating, but for us, the best decision we ever made. Isn't that nice to hear that said? And I think people should be considering it. Nice to hear the odd good thing said about TUSLA. You don't often hear anything good said about TUSLA, in fairness. And interesting people talking about the support that's there for them, that it isn't something to be put off because you think there won't be support, because apparently there is support for parents. Someone says, consider it, Ciara. Apply. Try to know your limitations. Be patient. And someone else says about the parents that we've spoken to. They are just absolutely amazing people. They deserve gold medals for the work that they do. They are the heart of Ireland, and I am amazed by the work that they're doing. Yeah, maybe think about it. It's National Fostering Week. I keep comparing dogs and cats to children, which I'm sure I'm going to get complaints about. But the point I'm making is I've heard so much. It's all over Facebook. It's all over everywhere about adopting pets, poor old pets in refuge shelters and all those things. And I think that's true. But there are kids, lads. Never mind dogs and cats. There are kids out there who need someone to mind them. And a huge amount of people out there who'd like to have kids in their lives. And as that email very clearly illustrates, you know, one of the things people say that's bad or sad when they miss out on having children for whatever reason is all that involvement in the community, in the school, in the extracurricular, in the parties, in the extended social setting of other parents and all. You get all that stuff too. It's very, very nice, the stuff that's coming in about this.